Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions and the Oasis Church at Kelly Park. And the Oasis Church is a new church. We've launched this church, and we're so excited about what God has for us. We believe that this little area of Florida where we live, that God has ordained a church to be established there, and we're so glad to be a part of it. And the whole crux of this church plant is to love God and to value people. And from that, you can reach the ends of the earth. And so, you know, our vision is very simple. Love God and value people. You know, people do matter. And they're not just there in order to sit and to go home and to, you know, kind of be there in an attendance and that's it. Christianity is a family. And this podcast, actually, as we get into it, we're going to be talking about family. And so, actually, let me just pray, and then let's just get into it, and we can talk about the church later. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for my friends, that as we get into the Word of God, that Lord, we believe you're going to speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive. And Father, we thank you for that Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, earlier today, I was over at a retirement home where my father-in-law is in a memory care unit, and he's not doing very well. And I took my daughter with me, my youngest daughter, and we spent time with Dad, and he really didn't know who she was. He knew who I was. And you know, as we left, you know, my heart was just, you know, kind of just sad to see my friend, my father-in-law, in this condition. But I said to my daughter, Victoria, I said, Victoria, you need to understand, this is a reality of life. And it's a reality of family. And there's all kinds of different stages of family. And all of them are important to God. And there are stages of time where the children, after they're raised by their parents, after they begin their own families, have to turn around and bring care to their own parents. And in this case, it's my wife's father. And I said, Victoria, this is very important that you see this. And it's important to know that even though in many ways he doesn't know who you are, but he does. Deep in him, he knows who we are. And it's important to go and just love him and to touch him and to do that as much as you can while he's still here with us. A lot of people don't know how to handle these kind of things. And I guess I'm very fortunate because I was raised, my own father, raised me, my two brothers, with a revelation of loving and respecting elderly people. And so we got to witness that with our own father, teaching us to value and to honor not only parents, but elderly people, that they're important. And so, but in this case, it's our own family member. I want to talk about family because as you get into this, you realize that when you look at the genealogies of, you know, Jesus, it goes back to Adam. And it says Adam was the son of God. And so when you go into Genesis, I mean, it's amazing because God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he begins to create Adam and then to bless and to give Adam the authority over the planet. But why did he do it? Well, it's because he wanted children. And, you know, when you look at the verse that says, you know, as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, God had already made a decision. Should man sin? Should man die? That he had already made the decision to die for man, to redeem man, before man was ever created. Now, this gives you a lot of insight into the love of the Heavenly Father. Because there was no, this is me speculating, but I don't believe there was any part of creation that could bring out the depth of His love unlike man. The angels, I'm sure the Lord loves the angels, but it's something about man, men and women, that He created in His image, in His likeness. And, you know, the Bible says you haven't even begun to understand what God has for you, what He's prepared for you. And it's just during this time that we're going through on this earth, we don't see God, but we're learning to love Him. We believe in Him. We rejoice with a joy unspeakable that's full of glory. But we have no idea what it means that when the Father says He's giving us the kingdom. He's so happy. He's so joyful to give you the kingdom. And so you gotta get to heaven. You gotta make it. And that comes by loving Him, believing Him, serving Him, living for Him in a very crooked world that we live in. Now, so God wanted children because there's something about man, unlike any other part of creation, that's able to draw out of God the depth of this love, a love that's willing to die for the very object that was created. Remember, God wasn't created. Man was. And in creating man, the eternal God, who wasn't created, who is life, was willing to take on death in order to overturn death and to bring man back into life through the power of His love. And so God wanted a family. And so let's take a look at Exodus 20 and verse 12. Now, when we get into this, here is God with Moses, and He's birthing the nation of Israel. They haven't entered the land yet. God was creating the nation, creating its constitution, its laws, before these people ever entered into their nation. Now, that's not usually how it's done. Usually a country will come in, invade, take over the land, and then say, okay, we need to create a constitution, create laws. It wasn't that way with God. Before God gave them the land, He created the people and its leadership structure and also the Constitution, His rules. And so here He is. He's manifesting His glory. I mean, the whole mountain is on fire. The Israelites are too afraid to get close to it. And God begins to go through what we know as the Ten Commandments. But He gets to this one, and He says in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded you, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. So God makes it very clear after, you know, He goes through, you know, you shall love the Lord thy God. You shall, you know, not worship any kind of idol. And you're going to observe the Sabbath. And then He goes through, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. But in all of that, He gives the command to honor your father and your mother. Why? Because the family unit is the smallest unit that creates everything that pertains to man. Man meets woman, come together in marriage, give birth to children, and that's a family. And nations are made up of all these little nucleus, families that create nations and that create a global population. So families were God's idea. And so God makes it very clear to people, honor thy father and thy mother. And then he said, there's a promise with it, that you may live long, that it may go well with you. And so what we see right there is that what God, you know, sometimes you learn by what God doesn't say. So when you begin to move in a dishonor to your father and your mother, then the Bible says it's not going to go well with you. And that's God speaking. I mean, those words were created, were spoken while the mountain was on fire. It literally looked like an oven with smoke billowing up, lightning and thundering, people, shaking, you know, begging, please don't destroy us. And in that event, the words were, honor thy father and thy mother. So you got to think that through. Don't just think about the words, honor thy father and thy mother. Think about what was happening when God was trying to get their attention, that this really means something to him. Now, concerning you know, this role, you know, back in 2020, in the month of January, I remember I went to a meeting, and the presence of God was really strong, and I went to a morning meeting, and I wasn't thinking much. I wasn't thinking about having an experience, a visitation from the Lord. But as the praise and worship began to go, all of a sudden, I'm like caught up in this, I don't know, it was a visitation, but I mean, I wasn't seeing angels. I didn't see heaven, but I knew that I was before the Father. And, you know, it's interesting with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, sometimes you just know it's the Holy Spirit and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And you're very aware the Holy Spirit is right there with you. Or it's Jesus, and you're just with the Lord, with the Master himself. But in this case, it was the Father. And as I was in this visitation, I was just overwhelmed with the love of the Father, knowing that he was better than my earthly father. His care for me was greater than my earthly father. And, you know, we all agree, oh, yes, we know that. But there's something about it. When you have this kind of an experience with the Lord, all of a sudden you go, well, I didn't really know it. And I know that the Word says this, that how much more shall your heavenly Father. But in that time with the Lord, I was so aware of how much the Father God loves me. Now, that was before COVID. You know, COVID hit, I guess, around March. Everything was closing down. And then by the time we got all the way to the end of the year, you know, we were just pushing through the whole year. It was terrible. Well, my father gets COVID, goes into the hospital, and he was a tough guy. And, you know, you just think, okay, he's not feeling well. He's going to push through it. And because that's just how he was. And so he's in the hospital, you know, 4 or 5 days. All of a sudden, he turns around and he's getting better. And so, oh, he's going to be out in a couple of days. Everything's going to be fine. But then all of a sudden, it turned around to the negative. And he began to go into decline. His lungs began to deteriorate. And now we know it's serious, and I remember it was a Wednesday night, and we did a telephone call, a conference call. Nobody could go in and be with him. And he told us all how much he loved us and how proud he was of us. And we told him how much we loved him. And then we all had a word of prayer together, and he blessed us. And then the next morning, he was unconscious, never regained conscience, and then passed away. And I was thinking, you know, my greatest encourager for what I did in ministry with the crosswalks and, you know, that was my dad. He used to go, and he was the photographer for the evangelistic outreaches. And I tell you, he always had revelation. And he would go on the crosswalks. I would, you know, talk to the team, and then he'd always butt in. He had revelation. He had to share, and everybody loved him, because they just knew, you know, it's Eric's team, but really it's Dad's team, because Eric would always say, "Dad," and it was great. But here is my greatest encourager. Now he's passed on. He doesn't live here anymore. And I could really feel the loss of the relationship with a father who loved the Lord. I love the Lord. Our relationship was that relationship with the Lord together. And but then I had to go back. January, a heavenly father. And what I'm trying to get here is you have a heavenly father. It doesn't matter what kind of father you had on the earth. You may have had a good father. You may have had a bad father. But in either case, you have a heavenly father who is far greater than any father, especially the best father you could ever had on this earth doesn't compare to the heavenly father. And I just want to encourage you, because remember, it's all about family. And God wants you to know. I mean, in fact, everything Jesus did, he taught so much about your heavenly father, your heavenly father. You got a father in heaven. And so now, when we get into this, I want you to look at Luke chapter 16, 27 and 28. And Luke 16, 27 and 28. Now, this is the story about the man that goes to hell. And there was a rich man, and there was a man named Lazarus. Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man went into hell. There's a lot of things we can preach about this passage. It wasn't a parable. Actually, Jesus was telling us a true story. And but I want to take it from a little different angle, and I want you to listen to it. Verse 27, the man in hell can talk. He can pray. He says, "I pray you, Father Abraham," father, there's the word father, the importance of family, family structure, "that you would send Lazarus to my father's house." Now he's thinking about his father's house. So he's talking to Father Abraham, and then he's remembering his father's house. This man is thinking about family. "I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." So how important is family to God? This man in hell had two revelations. First of all, it's how he lived his life. He missed an eternity in the presence of God. He missed heaven. But number two, all of a sudden, in the fire of hell, he is brought to a sobering reality that life was about family. You know, all over this planet, most nations don't have the prosperity of the West, especially the United States. But what they do have is family. So they'll get together on the weekends and have family events because they don't have all the stuff. They don't have all the transportation ability, right? So they usually live within proximity and they spend a lot of time together. They argue together. They fight together. They have parties together. They have everything. They're family. And so family was created by God to be the greatest glue of civilization. Honor your father, honor your mother. And in this, we see the power of praying for your family. In this case, this man, very wealthy, was very selfish. In fact, that's the whole story. Lazarus lived right next door, right at the gates, and dogs were licking his sores. This man was feasting, using his wealth and lusting for whatever he desired that he could provide for himself. He missed out on what life was about. But now in the fires of hell, he's very sober, and he's thinking about his family. The moral of this whole wonderful story is, while you're alive and while you have money, think about your family now. Invest into your family now. In closing, one last little, I don't know, tidbit that we should look at is Job. Now, Job is a great, great book, probably misunderstood. But when you come to the book of Job, there's a lot of things we learn. Number one, you never take one verse and make a teaching out of the book of Job. You have to read the whole book in order to understand the book. And when you get to the last like four chapters of Job, in fact, you should read those first just so you can understand what God thinks. Because the majority of the book of Job was wrong thinking, and God rebukes it at the end. And I think that's a reality of a lot of churches and people in general, a lot of wrong thinking towards about God. And so God has to clear it up. Now, when you get into Job, Job chapter 1, let's just go over there real quick. Job chapter 1. Job 1. And the Bible says this, that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one who feared God and stayed away from evil. He eschewed evil. He hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was a wealthy man. His sons went and feasted in their houses. Now, the word feasted, when you look in the Hebrew, they were partying. They were revelers. They casting off restraint. Every son his day, and he sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And so it was, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and he would sanctify them. He rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job. Listen, he did it continually. Job was a righteous man. In fact, the Bible talks about 3 righteous men. You had Noah, you had Daniel, and you had Job. And in fact, later on in the land of Israel, when God's getting ready to judge Israel, he's so fed up with their sin, he says, if Noah was here, if Daniel or Job, and he mentions Job, their righteousness would not save you. Now, there is, I believe, a period of time where another person's righteousness in intercession can keep judgment back. I do believe that. But I also know in the purpose and plans of God, when God says that's enough, their righteousness delivers them and your righteousness delivers you. But in this story, Job, unlike Daniel, unlike Noah, Noah saw a global judgment, but his own righteousness saved him and his family. That's very important. Noah's righteousness saved him and his family. So you see the importance of a righteous father covering. God respects that. But then you get Daniel, you see a national judgment, judgment on the nation. He was righteous. But in the book of Job, it's judgment on his family. And here you have these men, they're partiers, 7 sons, every day they partied. That means even on Shabbat, on the Sabbath, they had no respect for God. They weren't Jewish. I understand that. They probably didn't understand the Shabbat, but God still had made a principle from creation that was a rest day. And they didn't care. They partied and they were revelers. And Job knew that. And he interceded and he was giving offerings on their behalf in hopes that they would turn. And, you know, it does happen where the children don't understand the righteousness and the love of God in their parents. You can have parents that love God, love the Lord, have miracles, have the hand of God upon their homes, and the children completely in rebellion against it. And here we have that in the book of Job. What's the point? The point of a loving father praying, interceding, giving sacrifice on behalf of the children, asking God to move, asking God's mercy. And in this case, there was mercy for a season, but obviously Satan had rights and he came in and destroyed everything. And that's the story of Job. But Job was patient. He kept moving forward. Some people see wonderful miracles with their family. Some people don't. But the point is family, the importance of family, of standing in the gap for family. Remembering, while you're alive, this is the time to pray for family, to believe God for family, to talk to family about serving the Lord. And so, you know, in this podcast, I just want to encourage you. I'm sure there was something in here that maybe encouraged you or gave you a new thought. But I want you to press into praying for your children or your parents or your brothers and sisters. Listen, that's enough for now. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that family was your idea, that you commanded us to honor our fathers, our mothers, because there's a promise, that family is beautiful to you because you're our Heavenly Father. You created the family. Even in heaven, we'll be in family units amongst the overall family, that no one will ever be alone. That, Father, even in heaven, there are villages and cities and towns, and we're going to be with people that will be family units within the overall unit of the family, the heavenly family. Oh, because you love togetherness. And so, Father, we just thank you that if anyone's listening, that God, if they don't know Jesus, that they would repent and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And, Father, for those listening that may have wayward family members, we ask that you would send angels, speak to them in the night season, send laborers to help them, to give them a tract and to pray with them and to move them towards God. Father, heal families right now. And Father, we're just believing. We're believing for wholeness in families. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, that's enough for now. Listen, go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. And if you're in the Apopka area on Sunday evenings right now, come visit our church. And we meet at 6 o'clock and we have some fellowship and just relax. And then at 7 o'clock, worship and prayer. And let me tell you, this church is a church that's going to be based on the Word of God in prayer. It's a prayer-based church. And if you can, come visit us, be a part, and go to our website. Keep up with us. Until next time, remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. God bless you. Bye-bye.